well, you guys must be all visited out from over there. Normally there's a lot of activity, people walking around and greeting each other, but we had our 20, 30 minutes before service, so you must be greeted out. Is that what it is? Hey, Eric, could you run the deal for me? Just leave it here? Okay. So we pray for Yakima regularly, and we've made it a habit for quite a while now. We pray every Sunday. And a few weeks ago, Eric really had it on his heart that instead of just us being up here praying, which is good, we make it a declaration. And a declaration is something that we're declaring that we're believing God is going to do, or he is doing at this time. And so we're going to declare together. We'll try to stay in synchronization as much as possible, but if we're not in sync, that's no big deal. Just keep talking and declaring. So on three, we're going to start. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. I didn't hear a lot of folks, but that may be because I'm so loud. But keep in mind, to declare actually means that you use your voice. So if you didn't declare today, see if you can do it next time. Because the more of us agreeing in declaration, I believe there's power in it. So Father, we thank you, Lord, for Yakima, Lord, the place where we live, Lord, this valley, Lord, where you have called us to be here right now. These are our borders. You have placed us here for this time. So Lord, we just ask you to bless this city. Lord, bless it with your presence. Lord, bless it, Lord, with your safety, with your protection, Lord. Lord, we just agree with heaven that your kingdom will come and your will be done in Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. That's the prayer that you asked your disciples to pray, Lord. We believe that Yakima, Lord, will be transformed with the presence of God, with the Spirit of God. Lord, that churches, Lord, will grow, Lord, because people are hungry for God. Lord, that schools, Lord, will have less shootings, Lord, that there will be peace, Lord, that there will be peacemakers in the school instead of troublemakers, Lord. We just release, God, your power over this city right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Yakima Valley will be a city of God, will be a place of refuge, Lord, from others to come, from other places, Lord, where they don't feel safe, Lord. We declare safety and peace over this valley. Lord, as I was praying the other day, as Selah is a place of rest, Lord, let Yakima also be a place of rest where people can come and be refreshed, where their hearts can be restored, Lord, where hurts and pains of the past, Lord, can be healed. We thank you for that, Lord, that you're working here. You're working in Yakima Valley. You're doing all things in Yakima for the good of the kingdom of God and for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So this coming Saturday, April 23rd at Sherry's, 9 a.m., we're going to have a men's breakfast. And if you are, you know, not able to make it, I encourage you to watch for more situations or more events to come up. But we really encourage all the men to come out to this. It's a good time. We get to, you know, visit with each other. So bring a friend if you can, and bring two friends. Okay, three friends? Is three friends okay? That might be pushing it, yeah. Bring a friend or bring two friends, and we'll enjoy breakfast, fellowship, and just a real short, brief word. I want to thank you all for giving. It's what keeps the lights on here. It's what keeps this place going. It is an expense to turn up the heat, and It just goes right up through the roof. So everybody who's been giving and faithfully giving their tithes, it's kept us open and kept this place warm on Sunday morning. How many like a warm church when it's 30 degrees outside? It's been a cold spring. So one more thing. If you'd like to give, you can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com or up front or in the back. And with that being said, Pastor Eric.
Okay. Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning? A few? That's good. Yes, come on. Come on. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I just want to first say that I am so honored to even be here right now in this place, getting to speak in this house at this time. I had a revelation this week that 10 years ago, I was 26, serving at this church, loving it, and I was madly in love with what we were doing here, in love with ministry, just looking for every opportunity I possibly could get, just like itching for the mic, give me a chance to speak, right? And I dreamt, or had been dreaming about this very moment, meaning like being in this house serving with these pastors. And it just had this revelation this week that, wow, 26-year-old Eric, if he could see me now, right? And it was a revelation to me, because now that I'm here, now that I'm doing it, now I'm kind of like, you know, it can get a little bit like, oh, this is just a normal thing. This is what I do, right? But I put myself back in those shoes of being a young man, starting in ministry and wanting to have a part in God's kingdom, building God's house, and the fact that I get to do it. So I just wanted to say thank you to our pastors, because how many of you guys love Mike and Gaylene? Yeah. They're amazing. And what I love too is that Pastor Mike's a very humble man, and you know, he wants to treat this Sunday like it's any other Sunday, because he's right. Resurrection isn't just reserved for one day of the year. But there's not many pastors that would give up the pulpit on an Easter Sunday, right? And it's not that he like gave it up. It just, we're in a rotation and it fell on this time. And he's like, hey, you're preaching on Easter. But the weightiness that I feel of like, wow, like I'm basically living my dream that I dreamt of when I was in my 20s. So it's amazing. I love it. So thank you guys. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. I'm not going to specifically talk about resurrection today. I will say this though. Jesus died not only so you can go to heaven, but that so heaven can get into you. Jesus died and forgave you of your sins and your infirmities, and everything was nailed to the cross, not just for us to get into heaven, but for heaven to get into you. Okay? That's not even in my message. That's just something I want to say, because I think that if we can remember the why of Jesus going to the cross, it will help us grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Okay. So, in our youth group, we've been doing something, and I'm going to invite Caden up here. Are you good? Okay. Nate? Think about it. And we've been doing something. This is my son, my second born. He's very handsome and good looking and smart and all the good traits of his dad. And he is also one of our youth students, though. And we've been doing something in our youth group where we've been going after taking risks in our youth group. Showing them what it looks like to take a risk in partnering with Holy Spirit, okay? And so I asked my son if he wanted to take a risk today, and he knew exactly what that meant. And essentially what we've been doing is just giving the kids opportunities to give words to one another. Because I want them to know, and I want you guys to know, that Jesus just isn't reserved. He doesn't just reserve his voice for the holiest of the holy people, right? Like, he doesn't just say, okay, you know what? Let me pick the holy people in the room. I'm only speaking through them. No, he's actually looking for the most willing people. And even then, even the not so willing people still get a word, right? So, do you have a word? Okay. You have one? Seconds. Okay. He needs a moment. That's okay. Processing. And so again, the culture we're trying to build in our youth ministry and essentially our whole church is that you guys would understand that at any moment, at any time, if you're willing, God can and he can speak to you. Now, should we, there are also stipulations to this. There are also, this is why it's called a risk. Because I told the story to our youth kids that when I was first practicing this, I just come from this culture where we honor these type of things, and went down to Reading where it's like even that much more. And I'm practicing my words of knowledge and God speaking to me and all this stuff. And I remember I went into this place and I was like, I'm going to get a word for this gal that's at the front desk. And I felt like the word I had was she is, like passionately in love with animals, and she's going to do something with animals, right? And I'm expecting, you know, you hear these testimonies, especially at Bethel, you'll hear people just like cough and then there's a testimony. Like it's ridiculous. So I'm like, this is going to be my testimony. I'm going to walk in and be like, hey, do you have a passion for animals? And she's going to be like, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to open a animal shelter and it's going to be amazing. And then she's going to quit her job. And I'll be like, yes, God spoke to me. I changed that girl's life. High five Jesus, right? But no, I walked in there. And I did my transaction and I looked at her and I said, do you have a passion for animals? And she said, I love my dog. And I said, okay, never mind. Awesome. And I walked away. What's the point? I took a risk. And you know who celebrates risks? God. You know who, you know, you hear the saying, right? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. It's the same way in the kingdom. Right? Now, am I saying you just go out and start like, hey, I'm going to give that person a word. Here's this. And you just start rattling off things. No. But if you're prompted by Holy Spirit, this is how you get better at it. Okay? So my challenge, just like I'm challenging our youth kids, is that if you're getting a sense from this, from Holy Spirit, whether it be a word, a phrase, a picture, a color, I mean, anything, like God wants to speak through you. Okay? You ready?
Okay, so I have a word for Herman. So for you, I got the word, I got a picture of the ocean. And the ocean can be a very intimidating thing if you look at it and you glance at it. You're like, oh, wow, that's scary. I don't want to turn my back to it. But when it really comes down to it, the ocean is one of the most calming things possible. And so the ocean, people go to that to, people listen to ocean sounds to fall asleep. People go to the ocean, to the beach whenever they want to have fun, whenever they want to enjoy themselves. And so you're that ocean. People come to you whenever they want to feel peace. So Lord, we just declare these words over Herman right now. We just declare that you would just put it into practice inside of him, and that people would come to him whenever they want peace and whenever they're struggling, and that he would just be able to help them in any way possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, give it up for Caden. Go and take a seat, buddy. We love sweet moments in church. In this church. Amen. I know. So today I want to talk to you a message called The Why. Because I think this is important to ask this question, why? If I were to ask you, you know, why you do certain things, you for sure know why. Like, why do you go to work? Well, I need money to pay my bills, right? I like having gas in my car. I like having food in my cabinets. I like buying clothes. I like providing for my family, right? Like there's whys intact, right? It could be even more simple. Like, why do you go to that specific coffee shop or that specific coffee stand? Why? I like the coffee. I like the way they treat me. I like their service, right? Like we have these whys. There are lots of things that we know the answer why to, but then there's all also lots of things that we do that unfortunately just become routine to us. And we don't actually know the answer why. It's just something we're doing. Our one-year-old Tegan, he is a disgusting human being. If we leave any bathroom door open, where does he want to be? Not just in the bathroom, hands in the toilet. Now, he doesn't understand because he doesn't do anything in there yet, okay? But it's disgusting. And I mean, it's just panic. As soon as he's walking, the bathroom door's closed, you know, and then like now every house I go to, it's just a habit. As soon as I walk out of the bathroom, I shut the door, even if Tegan isn't with me, because I'm just worried that he's going to pop up somewhere and be like, there's a toilet, right? But he doesn't know the why he does it. He just does it, right? He just does it. And so how does this apply to today? Because this is what I believe, that a life of a believer is a life lived with intention. A life of a believer is a life lived with intention and purpose, right? I believe that we are called as believers, once we say yes to Jesus, once we say yes to what he did on the cross, that our life then begins a life with intention. And anytime we are following Jesus just on routine, we need to take a step back. I'm not saying stop following Jesus, but reevaluate why we're doing it, right? You and I both know that it would not feel good if we asked, you know, a close friend or better yet, if we asked our spouse and said, hey, why are you married to me? And they were like, oh, it's something to do, right? Like if I asked Nancy, like, hey, why did you marry me? She's like, oh, you know, like we were 20, we were young. I don't know. It just like, it worked out. Thankfully it worked out. Like, no, that would hurt. You'd be like, what? Like, no, I want you, I want you, my spouse, to know why we're together, to know why you're with me. Because if you don't know your why in this marriage, then anything, an outside source can come in and quickly question, because you don't know your why. You're not doing it on purpose. Okay? And so our relationship with Jesus, it has to be purposeful, right? It has to be with intention. Because if it's not, the second any outside source comes in, whether it be life hardship, whether it be, you know, somebody coming in and saying, hey, have you tried Buddha? And you're like, no, I haven't tried Buddha. Or have you tried Mormonism? Oh, I haven't tried that. Right? Like, if you don't have your why intact, then anything outside can come in. If you hang out with us, at Nancy and I, at any amount of time, especially to younger people, we're always asking them, well, what's your why? Especially when it comes to like dating, like why? Or kids or young people who are like, you know, we've dealt with teens for a long time, so we've had plenty of different conversations, you know, especially around the topic of sex. And we're not the type of people that are like, hey, let's have this long conversation and tell you, you know, like, because about it and tell you, you shouldn't do it because blah, 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 blah. Because this, if their why to keeping their virginity becomes because my youth pastor said it was bad or because my mom and dad said it was bad, the second the opportunity comes, it's going to be given. Right? And so this is why we ask that question. What's your why? Because if you have your why intact, when the rubber meets the road, you'll be able to withstand that. Right? So when we have our why to why we're serving Jesus, then when the enemy comes in with his little dumb schemes, we'll be able to say, actually, I know exactly why I'm serving Jesus. I know exactly why I have given my life to him, why I have sacrificed so many Sundays, why I've sacrificed so many nights of Bible study, why I've sacrificed sleep so I can be up to read my Bible, why I have sacrificed things that I want to do but are part of my sinful nature. I know my why because my why to Jesus is with intention and with purpose. Are you guys with me? Okay? Say why. Say it again. Say why. A life of a believer is a life lived with intention. Okay, let's read John 3:16-21. We've heard this verse many a times, and I'm going to read beyond 16. And I believe it paints a perfect picture of the why of God sending his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The doing of Christianity is easy. Okay? The practice, the practicals of being a Christian is super easy. We may think, oh man, super hard to, you know, come on a Sunday, especially during football season, that 10 a.m. Seahawks game, like I want to be on my couch watching the game, right? And it's super hard to read my Bible, and it's super hard to get a prayer life. Actually, all that stuff is just creating a routine for yourself. I can talk an hour and tell you guys how to create healthy habits for your life and get you on a trajectory to have a better routine in your life. Doing that stuff is easy. The doing is easy. But the actual why we're doing it, that's where things get a little bit muddy, right? Because you ask somebody, well, why do you read your Bible? It's like, oh, well, just what I've always done. My parents raised me. I was raised in a Christian home, and we read the Bible, and so I read the Bible, and I do it, right? The YouVersion app has made it, like, so easy. So easy. You're struggling to read your Bible, download the YouVersion app. They will send you a reminder every day at the same time to read your Bible, right? And so it's not the doing part. It's asking, well, why do I do it? And this is what I want to get at, because if we can figure out our why, then this thing comes alive to us. Right? We become more passionate about the word. We become more passionate about our prayer life. We become more passionate about our church life. Right? But things that we do out of routine, they just become things we do. Right? I work a job where it is so boring. I work from home. I'm grateful for my job. That part's amazing. But getting up and staying in my pajamas and sitting on my dining room table and logging onto my computer, that routine, that mundane routine, like, that's not a hard thing to get down. But when the routine loses its spark, I then begin to get bored, right? And unfortunately, there's Christians all over the world, all over the nation at least, where they lose that spark because they depended so much on the routine. And they didn't have their why intact. When I was a young man in high school, I did something really dumb. How many of you guys have ever done something dumb in high school? Some of you are still doing dumb stuff, not in high school, just kidding. Okay? But when I was 15, I found young love. And I said, I watched way too many teen dramas. I watched way too much. There's a show called Dawson's Creek. Okay. It formed my brain to believe that and I'm sure young people are still dealing with this today, but it formed my brain to believe that you find the one you love in middle school or high school, and you live happily ever after. Right. And you don't have any issues, and you get to tell your kids this great story about, this is my high school sweetheart. Right? So this is what I was chasing, this dream. And there was this girl in eighth grade, became really good friends, and I fell in quote-unquote love. And not realizing this till now when I think about it is that every girl that I ever encountered, I put myself immediately in the friend zone, because I thought, why wouldn't girls want to know that I'm passionately in love with them after I meet them from day one? Right? That's what Dawson from Dawson's Creek does, and it works out for him, right? And so anyways, I meet this girl, we're friends, and we never date, but I'm like, this is the girl. I need to date this girl. I need to get this girl into my life, and we're in, and hold on to her for the next 4 years till we're 18 and able to graduate, right? This was what my thought was. Well, we went to do different high schools. I went to Davis, she went to Ike. And when I was probably halfway through my freshman year, me and this girl were still talking, and I was like, I think I have a chance. You know what I should do in the name of love? I should transfer schools. Should I talk to my friends? No, they wouldn't understand love. I'm just going to do it. And I transferred high schools in the middle of the year. I have the best mom in the world. She did it, no questions asked. Transferred, right? Went to Eisenhower. Walked into this school. I'd already been at Davis for, 4 months now. So everything I was used to just gone. At that point, the layout of the school was just completely different. All the classes were different. I found out at that point that the Spanish at Davis was not being taught correctly, because when I went to the Spanish at Ike, they looked at this Mexican and thought, you should be in like pre-Spanish. And so anyways, I found out really quickly, within a week, that I'm dumb and I should not have transferred high schools. And this girl was not interested in me. We didn't date. Surprise, we didn't get married, right? And I went to my mom at the end of that week and said, Mom, please transfer me back to Davis. Please. This is why I have the best mom in the world. And she did it, right? It was so weird. It was weird. But my why, right? My why was so ridiculous that I made such a silly decision in the name of love. Christians continue to practice Christianity, but they don't know why. And this is the scary thing. Jesus had his why intact. He knew his mission and why it was his. John 17, 1 through 5. This is in the Passion. It says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you have given to me. Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. To know and experience Jesus Christ as a Son whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. So, my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was sacrificed or was created. My first point is this. Jesus became our sacrifice so that he could become our why. Jesus became our sacrifice so that he could become our why. So that he could become the why we breathe, why we wake up in the morning, why we come to this place on a Sunday morning, why we open our Bible. Like everything we do, like this is why he went to the cross, so that everything we do can bring us closer to him. So he could become our why. Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. We could sit here and go back and forth and split hairs about the gifts of the Spirit and this, that, and the other. And that's fine. But Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus, in my life, now, again, looking for young love, and thankfully it worked out later down the road, because when I was 18, I met a girl and she was attending a church with a bunch of weird Christians that worship Jesus, right? I say weird because I wasn't a believer. So I came in and all of this was weird to me. Okay, why are they doing that? Why are they lifting their hands? Why are there people jumping? What is happening, right? So I walk into this place and I give my life to Jesus probably a year later. And my why fully was not Jesus, but was fully Nancy. Why do I come to church? Why do I serve Jesus? Well, because my girlfriend and then fiance, she does, right? I come because this is where she goes. If at that point, if any point at that point she would have stopped, I would have stopped. If she would have went to a different church, I would have went to a different church, right? If she would have started diving into some other religion, I probably would have too. Why? Because she was my why. Then, shortly down the road, as we get closer to getting married, I have this revelation of who Jesus is and how much I need him and how much outside of Nancy, I need Jesus. Because I wasn't Nancy's why. Like, Nancy told me before we were probably 4 months into dating, she told me, because I asked her straight out, trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing, she told me she would choose Jesus over me. Because I asked her. And I said, if it came down to me or Jesus, not me in church, I didn't ask her that question. I said, me and Jesus, you would choose Jesus, wouldn't you? And so she already had that intact. For me, though, it took a little bit. But then Jesus became my everything. Jesus became my why of why we continue doing this and why we continue making the sacrifices we do and saying, you know, making sure that our no's are we know our no's and we know our yes is really big because Jesus, it's all about Jesus for us. I don't come here for any other reason but Jesus. I don't come here because the pastors are the pastors of this church. You know, I don't serve Jesus because of any other reason than Jesus. What he's done for me, what he continues to do for me. Are you guys with me? Jesus is perfect theology. Matthew 11:28 in the Amplified says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls and with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed, quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light." Your reason to serving the Lord needs to be more than just the church stuff. Because the church stuff can only sustain your spirit for so long. The church stuff can only sustain your spirit for so long. And Christian burnout, there are plenty of people that used to sit not only in these seats, but in seats all over our city, all over our nation, every Sunday, right? And it wasn't that they just stopped believing in Jesus. I'm sure that a lot of people that leave church continue to believe in Jesus, but they stopped coming. They stopped doing this. They stopped doing the church stuff because their why was never intact of why they were coming. And so then it becomes easier to say yes to something else because this isn't really a priority anymore, right? It becomes easy to let the Bible collect dust on the shelf because this isn't really a priority anymore, right? It becomes easy to you know, not even remember the last time we actually had a passionate prayer time with the Lord because that's not really a priority anymore, right? Your why. Second point, I'll say this. Your why leads to your freedom. How many of you guys want to be free? How many of you guys want to stay in bondage? Nobody. Thank you. Nobody wants to stay in bondage. I'm so happy about that because your why leads to your freedom. If you carry bondage in your life, if you have things that are you know, weighing you down, or, you know, whether it be mindsets, whether it be sin, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, when you figure out your why to serving Jesus, that leads you to freedom. You know, I have a friend who called me a few months back, sometime last year, actually, and he said he was struggling. And he was having trouble in his marriage, and it was all surrounding the sin in his life that he was struggling with. At one point, and they've only been married for a few years, at one point in their marriage, his wife took the kids and up and left so he could figure out his stuff, right? And so then they got restored, and she came back, and then the sin continued. And now he's facing it again. And I had to ask him this question because he was asking for accountability. And I said, listen, the thing is that you need to figure out your why you want to stop. Because if you tell me why you want to stop is to keep your family, that's a lie, because you've already showed yourself that that's not a good enough reason for you to stop living in your sin. Right? Like, if your why was to keep your family intact and not have your wife pick up the kids and move, you would have stopped doing the thing. So your why has to be intact of why you're doing that. And just tell that story just to say, this is us, though. And we want our life to be transformed, and we want our life to change from the inside out. But then we keep doing the same thing. And we stop bringing Jesus into the process. We stop pursuing our why. The enemy doesn't need to get you to stop believing in Jesus, because he's satisfied with the passive believer. He doesn't need you to curse the name of Jesus. He's satisfied with the believer who just passively serves him, because those believers don't threaten him. Right? I'm going to read this story in Acts 19. So some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. What if our name stopped the enemy in his tracks? What if when the enemy heard about you, he got scared? Right? I was playing pickup basketball one time. And I don't claim to be like, you know, the shorter Mexican LeBron James or anything, but I know my way around a court just a little bit, okay? And I remember I was playing this pickup basketball game with a bunch of other guys, right? And it was getting down to the wire, right? And I had made a couple shots or whatever. And I remember I was running around the court, and I hear the other team, and they said, don't let that guy shoot. And they were pointing to me. Don't let that guy shoot. Why? Well, because they know. They knew what was going to happen. There's a chance if I get the ball, I'm going to make it in. What if when the enemy heard your name, he stopped in his tracks and said, oh no, Caden's praying. Right? Like, what if when the enemy heard your name, knew that guy's partnered with Jesus, now I'm scared. What if? Your why leads to your freedom. I just saw the word I said don't. The third point, I'll say this. Discover your why. Discover how to transform your world. I don't know about you guys, but I want every part of my life, everything, my kids, my marriage, my work life, my ministry, everything that I do to be transformed by Jesus. Right? And anybody else with me? Does anybody else want their lives to be transformed by Jesus? Okay? A few of us. When I discovered my why, then I discover how to transform my world. And it's not just more church attendance, right? It's not just more Bible reading. It's not just more church stuff. It's actually figuring out, What is this thing inside of me that's burning, and why does it burn inside of me, and why do I actually want to follow him? The rest of this story in Acts 19 about the guys who got beat up and ran out naked, which, super embarrassing. When this became known, this is what it says in 17, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Yes, I read it was one of them is a day's wage. And they had 50,000 1,000 of them. How is your why transforming you from the inside out? How is it transforming, or how is it changing others? We're all here because somebody before us had their why intact. I'm here standing before you because Tim St. Martin prayed for me, and because he got his why intact. Because he went through crazy stuff in his life and going. And then he found Jesus, and then he figured out his why. And then he saw a young man that was dating his daughter, and he began praying. We're all here because somebody else had their why intact. So why would I not want to have my why intact? Because as soon as I get my why, I then get to change the world. I then get to, when I pray for my city, I then get to watch it change. When I lead my family, I get to watch it change. When I pursue my marriage with intention, I get to watch it change. Why? All based around my why. Not just, it's another day, it's another Sunday. Oh, church starts in 30 minutes. I guess, are we going? We're going? Okay, we're going. No, but actually, I'm going to run to this place because I know that I get here and I get around God people. I get around God's people, right? And I get equipped when I'm here. Not just, oh, I look at my word and it's there. I might read it today. I might not. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But actually opening up our word and saying, with intention, I'm going to read this thing and I'm going to find Jesus in my Bible. I'm not just going to read words on a page, but I'm actually going to consume it and let it be living to me like it's supposed to be. But that all comes from my why. You become contagious once you know your why. Once you know why you're doing what you're doing. Right? We've experienced these people that do like network marketing. Right? They're the most convincing people. Their product is the best product. Right? Their product, like, and then if you listen to them long enough, you then believe it. Like, yeah, why have I not been using those knives my whole life? Wow, what am I doing, right? Because they know that if they can convince you that they're convinced that this is the best thing, it will then convince you. It works the same way, and I know that's kind of a dumb example, really dumbed down example of our life changing other people's life. But if I'm convinced that Jesus is here to change the world and change my world so much that when I get around others, they see how my life is changed and transformed, then it becomes a contagious to them, because they're like, I just hung out with Eric, and you know what? His life isn't perfect, but he's pursuing God with a passion in him, and he knows his why. I'm going to see what that feels like in my life now, right? Your why. How do we expect to see our family's lives changed, our city's lives changed, if we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing? And this is what we're about. Here at this house, is that our goal, our vision, our mission is to impact this city one life at a time. One life at a time. I look at a room full of people who have the ability to impact even just one person. Even just one person. Right? And that's downplaying it, because I know that many of you actually have the ability to impact a lot more than just one, okay? But if just one person, but if we don't know why we're doing this, right? Why would the world be attracted to anything that we're doing if we're just doing it with intention, without intention, right? Why would the world want to give their life to Jesus if the only reason why I'm serving Jesus is, well, it's just what my family has done, right? I grew up in church, and this is just what I do. Or I got saved when I was a teenager, and I just started coming, and I actually never left because they serve coffee on Sunday mornings, right? We just started doing that, so that doesn't apply to here, right? And so, are you guys getting this? Your why? Again, here's my hope. Here's my encouragement. This is what I'll end with this, and we can pray and go search for Easter eggs. Okay. Is that we would ask ourselves this question. This is my hope. This is my my charge for you guys, if you will, is that you would look at your why and look at, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Why do I even show up to this place? Why do I claim to be a Christian? Why do I open my word? Why do I pray before I eat? Like, what is my why? And am I doing any of that stuff just out of routine? Again, routines are bad, but routines alone aren't going to change the world. Right? And the sad thing to me is this, is that there's plenty of believers that are satisfied with just routine. Right? They're satisfied with, this is my streak. Right? I've never missed a Sunday for the last 2 years. Right? I've read my Bible every year, the Bible in a year plan for the last 5 years, right? And they're satisfied with routines, but then actually nothing is transforming them. And my hope is that you guys, that we here at One Life Family Worship would want to be a house where we are transformed from the inside out and we're transforming others' lives, right? That's the mission. There's a lost and dying world out there. There's a lost and dying world that needs hope. We get the opportunity to do that. But we don't get to do that, or we don't become effective in that until we know our why. Because then we come to people with very loose reasons. Hey, come to church. Why? It's fun. I have a funny pastor, right? Like, no, come to church with me. Why? Because I feel like God has something specific for you, and he's changed my life so much that through you coming, God could do something mighty. Even if you just come this one Sunday, right? Jesus, I thank you that you are our why. God, I just pray right now. I just pray right now for anyone who could hear my voice, God. Anyone who is in this room, anyone who listens online or listens at a later time, that the why question, God, they would begin asking themselves the why. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God of intention. You are not a God that does things on accident. You are not a God of coincidence. Lord, you are a God that does life on purpose. God, and you had us born at this time for right now. You had us in this city right now. You had us at this church for right now, God. And there's no accident. And I just pray right now, Lord, for the hearts in this room, that the hearts would burn, Lord, with a great passion for you. And it would not be out of routine. It would not be out of routine that we serve you, God, but it would be because you are a purposeful God. And we want to serve you with purpose. God, I declare that every person in this room would have an impact, Lord, on the world around them, on their families, on their schools, on their workplaces, at the grocery store, at the coffee shop, at the anywhere that they go, that they would be world changers. They would be thermostats and change the temperature in every place they walk into. Lord, I thank you that you sent your son. You sent your son for me and everybody here. And there's nothing that I can do to change that, to make that any better, any greater, that the ultimate sacrifice was sent for me. And we worship you today, Jesus. We worship you today, Father. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody need prayer? If you need prayer, I just want you to lift your hand, and I feel like we just need to pray as a community. If you need prayer, I want you just to be brave and raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you today. Okay, I see one hand. Anyone else? Anyone need prayer for anything? No prayers too big or too small. Okay. All right. So this is what we're going to do. Jesse just want to put on a little bit of music. And Caden had his hand up, Vicky and Evie. And I just stay where you guys are. And I just, let's get around these people. And just as a family, let's just pray for them. If you guys feel so inclined to say, this is what I need prayer for, go for it. If not, that's totally fine. But let's just pray as a family, okay? So let's get a few people around Evie, get a few people around Vicky, and a few people around Caden, and let's just lay hands and let's pray. Amen.